The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I want you to hear a video that I found, and I think it'll just stir your heart. It's very appropriate, I think, for us right now. And as Jim can get it up there, he's working his little thing. This is a Ronald Reagan video. Okay, good.
And as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And a few moments ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment, and I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I, the armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. And they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who, the night before D-Day, tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We are surrounded today by the dead of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. A promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Had the privilege of being at Arlington Cemetery and have seen the tomb of the unknown soldier. And it says in part on that beautiful piece of marble, known but to God. And God knows all those who paid such an enormous price for us to be here. I don't take it lightly. I take it very seriously. I frequently pray for those who are in service today, and then I always pray and thanks for those who served before. And it, since it is Veterans Day, I'd like to know anyone here who is a veteran of the services, would you please stand? Just stand. Brother Don, here we go. Dennis, anyone else? Yeah, Jim. Yeah, okay. Come on down here, guys, for just a minute. Let us pray for you. Just a word of gratitude used vicariously. Pray for you, and as we do so, we honor you, and we pray for all those who are serving right now in places of the world where I wouldn't want to be. I just saw a thing on TV last night in Afghanistan. The guys are serving in temperatures of 129 degrees, wearing heavy armament, steel hats on their head for us. And we thank them for it. Come up here, Ms. Pat. Father, I thank you for these men, Lord, who have served. just to back off.
Okay.
And for all those, Lord, who are serving today, Lord, I thank you that they serve honorably. Lord, I thank you for life, Lord, in the time that you spent in their uniforms, so that we might be free today, that this nation might still be here because of his service. Lord, I thank you for Dennis, Lord, and the time that he served, Lord, making sure that America was free, that we'd have a place to raise our families, Lord. Thank you for Jim Corbin, Lord, but I didn't even know him, Lord. He was serving our nation. Lord, he stood up, and like Isaiah of old said, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I thank you for George, Lord, who served so valiantly, Lord, and so willingly for us. Father, I thank you for him. Father, I thank you for each of those men and women in the service today, Lord. Wherever they are, I ask you to protect them. They don't have the pleasure of being here with us today, Lord, in a nice, safe environment. But, Lord, they're in harm's way, and I ask you to protect them and watch over them, even now. Even now, Father, in the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 Before you leave, guys, just stay here for just a minute. I wonder if there's anyone here who had a husband, a wife, or a son, or a brother, or someone who has served in the armed services. Would you stand up? You see how much the armed forces touch all of our lives? So many of us. We've all been touched, you know, and we think so often of those who serve, but what about those who stay and pray? So let's pray for all those families right now. Father, we pray for the families who wait anxious days and nights. Fearful of a phone call or a telegram or a visit at the door that would bring disastrous news to their lives. As Ronald Reagan said, that those who are lost in harm's way, Lord, they not only the life that they were living, but the life that they would have lived, and those who go on. And Father, I thank you for those who stand, Lord, and wait and pray. Every wife, every child, every mom, every dad, every brother, every sister, every husband, Lord, who wait for the day that they return. Safe to these hollow shores of America. Father, bless them today. This week, as we think about Veterans Day and those who serve. And Lord, when the flags are put away and the music stops and everyone goes about the next holiday, they'll still be waiting. So I ask you to be with them encourage them. We thank you for them, Father. Remind us to pray for our veterans, those who serve in the armed forces throughout the world, and for their families day by day. And we thank you, Father, for their service. In Christ's name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, you can. Conclude our series on praying for America today. I believe in God's divine providence. I had planned on being finished this a couple of weeks ago, but God had another plan, and in the light of everything that's taking place in our nation, I know that it's appropriate that we be here today talking about praying for America one more time. As I told you last week, our message today would be titled, Now, How Do We Pray for America? And there's a text I've chosen from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Father, we thank you for your word. As we study this morning, I pray that your divine anointing would be here upon me as I speak from this pulpit. And Father, I pray that your divine anointing would be on the ears and the hearts and the minds and the spirits of those who hear me, that they might receive that which you, mighty God, would say by your Spirit to us, the church. We submit ourselves to you to hear what it is that you would say to us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Before I go any further, just one little bit of business. I want to thank the man who came and worked so hard today to make sure that the leak on the back wall was fixed, that the leak in the men's room was fixed, that the leak in the door was fixed. What else? What other did you have to fix? And the sign is no longer crooked. It's straight and will be painted. And the ladies won't get locked in the bathroom anymore. You have a new handle on the bathroom door. And it will be utterly impossible for anyone, man, woman, beast, anything that ever walked or crawled across the face of the earth to be able to unplug the freezer again. It is locked. The freezer is locked and the plug is locked to the wall. Some unintentional soul unplugged it. And thank goodness there wasn't a whole lot of stuff in the freezer, because that's the food that goes out to feed the poor. So if you want to know why you can't unplug anything back there, it's because of the freezer, okay? So Mike wanted to put a 220 volt of electricity to it to just back off anybody, but we thought maybe we better just to lock it up. So no, he didn't do that. I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, now that the election process is over, it's important for us to know, how should we pray for America? We have prayed for 30 days. I thank God that we were able to do that. I would be a wreck if we had not prayed. I would be under such condemnation and that I had not done what we, the church, could do. And we fasted for 6 of those 30 days. And it was just an awesome time. It gave me a settling in my spirit knowing that we had done, as believers, what we could do. And that is to pray and intercede. Now, some of you are disappointed. Some of you didn't get your candidate elected to the presidency, to the Senate, to the judgeship. And if you voted like I voted, I only had one that eked in. The rest of them didn't make it. I don't know what that says, but in fact, one of the guys who had a good friend of mine who had recommended that I vote for someone, and this is he's often giving me information. I saw him Wednesday, and I said, "Don't give me any more names to vote for, because you pick losers all the time." He laughed and knew that I would ask again and that he would give me some. Some people are actually fearful because of the outcome of the election. As Bob Lambert just said, that people are afraid. There's a fear that has settled into the hearts of many people in America today. For many, there's a sense of hopelessness. Because those that you believed in were not elected to office. Now, prior to this election, I could not tell you who I was going to vote for. If you talked to me privately, you probably would have figured it out. But I stood in opposition to Senator Obama. And I did so, not for his color, not for his economic plans, not for anything. I was opposed to him being elected because of his stance on abortion. He believes in choice, and I don't believe that is right. I believe that that is a bad position, and that is my litmus test. You don't get my vote if you're going to kill babies. You just don't get it, all right? That's just the way it is, and that's what I made up my mind about, and I believe that I'm on the right side. So with that said, and we had this election, and we now have President-elect Obama, and I know in this group, in this part of the country, that many of you were opposed to Senator Obama, and you were in favor of Senator McCain, and you're wondering, now what? Well, we're going to discuss that issue today in some detail. But I want you to do three things. When President Obama, when he becomes a president officially on January the 20th of this year, I want you to oppose him when he's wrong. When he does things and says things that are wrong, I want you publicly to oppose him and privately oppose him. And when he does things that are right, I want you to encourage him. And I want you to tell other people about it and encourage it, the good things that he will do. I learned in the seminary, and you've heard me say this countless times, just because a person's wrong about one thing doesn't mean they're wrong about everything. And just because they're right about one thing doesn't mean they're right about everything. So we are to encourage. And thirdly, we need to pray for our new president. And I don't mean lip service. I'm talking about praying. And one of the things we need to pray for is we need to pray for his safety. And I want to tell you what, there are some crazy loons in this world who would do great harm to this man and to his family. And that's not the way we do business in America. We have peaceful transitions of power. Thank God for our founding fathers who set it up that way. So we're going to pray for his family. We're going to pray for his success. We want him to be successful as a president of the United States. And we want to pray for change in his heart if there's anything that God needs to deal with. Someone said, one of the men who was close to President Clinton when he was inaugurated into office, he said that President Clinton quickly learned that the presidency is not what you think it is until you get there. And it's a different environment. So that's what we're going to do. So today we're going to look at how we should pray for America. How we should pray for America. By the time we finish this sermon today, I am telling you, if you get what I got, you are going to be overjoyed, overjoyed about what God has done and is doing. The first thing about how you should pray for America is pray like we're in a civil war. Let's look at the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer, without anger or disputing. I'm going to show you a video that was created from a time long ago. And it's something that some of you were old enough were forced to memorize when you were in school. A speech that was given almost extemporaneously by a great American who stood in America in one of its most trying hours. And I want you to listen prayerfully to what is known as the Gettysburg Address. Jim?
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln and those words uttered. The only thing he was wrong about was that people wouldn't remember what was said that day. But we remember to this very day. Never before in my lifetime has there been such division in this country as I see these days. We're a nation divided not by North nor by South, but by red and blue. President-elect Obama said, but the first time I heard him speak, I believe it was 4 years ago at the Democratic National Convention, I heard him say it this year at his acceptance speech when he received the nomination as President of the United States of America. And I heard him say it the other day at a press conference. And I think these are words that will need to be deep in our hearts. He says, we're not a nation of red states or a nation of blue states. But we have been, and we shall ever be, a nation of the United States. And we need to remember that. We are one nation under God. This place was established that we might have the freedom and the liberty to live as free men and women that we might have the liberty to pray and intercede and thank God for what we have. There are churches on every corner, on every little town throughout the United States. I've never been to a town where they didn't have a church. Some vestige of freedom where the gospel of Christ was proclaimed. And we so often divide ourselves into our denominational ranks of Catholic or Baptist or Presbyterian or all those other things that divide us. But we are not to be a divided people, for as there is one nation, there is one God. There is one hope for all of us as a people and for this entire world. And that is our devotion to Jesus Christ, our proclamation of the good news that has been delivered to our hands. The issues that divide us today are not slavery, thank God. What an abomination that was in our nation's history. Thank God that ended. Thank God for the men and women who stood up and said no and finished it and shed their blood. And I know for down here in the deep south, there's sometimes the southern mentality that thinks about, we lost that war. That wasn't a lost war. That was a righteous indignation of God used to see that men and women could be set free from slavery. What a horrible thing that was. Thank God it ended. But our civil war is based on another issue, and that is the issue of life. And the issue of children being murdered day by day in mother's womb. We need as much of indignation and standing up for righteousness to end this as it needed to be done to end the issue of slavery. It is wrong, it is against God, and it needs to end. And we need to use all of our ability and our energies and our finances and to do what we can do to see that this thing ends once and for all. Abraham Lincoln highlighted six areas that I want to just briefly touch on in that Gettysburg Address. He said, first of all, that we are all equal. We've been given our rights by God. We are created by, we're endowed with our Creator with certain rights. And among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are created by God, and all men are equal. Thank God for that. You can travel the nations of the world and you won't find that. Even in some Western nations where there's supposedly some freedom, talk to people who live in those nations, who've been in those nations, and compare their rights and freedoms to ours, you'll find a different page in history that has been written. Because we believe in the sanctity of life given to us by God Himself. We have the right to disagree on issues. And there's nothing wrong with disagreeing on issues. Usually disagreements help us find a better way. It's okay to disagree on issues, but not to the point of death. Not to the point where we make our lives and the lives of other people expendable. To disagree, yes, but not to use force in that way. He said they were in a great civil war. I thought about that and said, what in the world is a civil war? So I went and got the old Mr. Webster, one of our great founding fathers' books out, and I cracked it open. And a civil war is people to people. It's not about nation to nation, but about people to people. And I never understood that before. And that's why I said that there is a civil war going on, because our civil war internally is people to people. And I've got to tell you that people on the other side of this issue believe as passionately about what they believe as I believe. Very passionate about what they believe. Lincoln said, can this nation endure? Do you know that he stood on a battlefield where over 40,000 men were casualties, north and south combined? Can you imagine the newspaper tomorrow morning if you read that 40,000 American soldiers died in combat? What a hue and uproar there would be. And it happened right here as blood was spilled on our American soil. Boy, it does something inside of me just to think about it. The price was paid for freedom. And he talked about a blood-stained battlefield. There was a blood-stained battlefield right here, and it's in the abortion clinics of our nation. And that blood cries out for someone to make sure that that blood has not been shed in vain, just as it was in the days of Lincoln. Lincoln said we could never forget what happened that day, although he was fearful that they would, but we have not forgotten. Let's not forget in the comfort of our homes and in the nice society that we live in and the busyness of life to forget the issue that exists. And that issue is these unborn children who are dying daily. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, you're too far over on this issue. You're just too serious about it. You need to come another way. And if you believe that way, you have the right, and people have made it so that you could disagree with me on that. But I just can't lose my passion about it. And you need to be passionate about it. Something needs to be done. Great moves that turn the tide of history are not accomplished by committees, but they're accomplished by people of passion, of a single heart. There's usually a face that leads the charge to change things. Maybe it's you. I ask the Lord, Lord, is it me? Am I to lead the charge? Can I gather others around me to do something about it? I don't know. But I ask you to pray about it with me. Maybe someone listening to this on audio on the internet, someone will touch their heart. Pat and I were saying, what we need is a leader. We need somebody to stand up and say, come, follow me. Just like Jesus said, come follow me. We need someone to stand up and to lead us in this great battle. There are those, we're not alone, but we need to get decisively to end this issue. This can only be done by the people. That's us. For the people, that's us. And in the power of God. This civil war will not end until every abortion clinic in this nation and in the world is closed forevermore. Amen. And we finally hear the victory song sung. Some would wonder if we could live long enough to see that. Maybe Jim was giving us a little victory song there. I wasn't planning on that, but it certainly was appropriate. Just a little early, Jim. We hadn't won yet. But I'll tell you what, and I'm going to talk in some more detail about this. There are people, black people in this nation, who never believed what they saw this week could ever happen. And thank God it has. The second thing about now, how should we pray? Is we need to pray like those in civil authority need it. We need to pray like those in civil authority need it. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all those in authority, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Never before has America needed prayers like she needs them today. We need to be praying. We need to continue to pray. The government may want separation of church and state, but we will not be separated. Amen. We resolve to make sure that we will permeate every avenue and every area of government, that we might bring the truth of Christ and the values of Christ into our government. Much that has gone wrong is because we, those who have the truth, have abdicated our position for the comfortable things that this country offers. And we have not been involved in the system. It makes a big difference, and Mike and Gina can tell you this firsthand, it makes a big difference when you go to the state capitol and you find men and women there who are in the governmental system who agree with you for your Christian values. Is that not true? You guys went up there and it's an abortion issue. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And it makes a difference when people in governmental office can put laws up to end the tyranny that sometimes exists in a nation. And we need those men and women who will stand up and take the heat for what they do. Thank God for them. They may want us separated, but we're not separated. Like it or not, want it or not, we will pray for them. I want you to put that in your mind and in your heart. We will pray for President-elect Obama. We're going to pray for his wife. I don't even know her name. I've heard it, but I can't remember. And I don't know. What is it?
Michelle,
and I don't know the children's name. Anybody know their children's name? What is it?
Malia and Sasha.
Malia and Sasha. We're going to remember those names. We're going to know those names. In fact, we're going to put them on that bulletin board back there to remember to faithfully pray for them at their time in office. Do you realize the impact of what took place in our nation this past week that changes the course of our nation forever? What an awesome thing that has taken place when a man who at one time would have been impossible for him even to sit in a restaurant is now commander in chief of the United States of America, a black man. Incredible achievement. What that says so many good things. Now I know some would say, well, you know, it was the black people that had voted for it. No, indeed, my friends, 52% of the Americans in this country voted for it. That means there's a lot of white folks that would be voting for it. I think God stirred on people's hearts. They didn't even know what was going on for him to get into office. They may have taken prayer out of schools and out of governmental offices. But thank God Almighty they haven't taken it out of the church yet. Amen. We can still pray. Amen. This is our fortress. This is where we can come and make our battle plans before the throne of God and intercede and ask God to give us information. I'll tell you something I'm learning this past year, and some of you are learning, that something awesome happens when God's people get together and pray. There's something awesome happens when God's people get together and fast. Just give God praise, Jim. Amen. That's right. God begins to speak to us and change our hearts. Some of you are getting words from God that you didn't know God could ever talk to you. You're hearing God's voice for the first time because you are fasting and praying and believing God, and you've opened up the channel between you and the heavenly host, and God's speaking to your very hearts about things. And it is awesome. It is awesome when God speaks, and we will continue to pray. We are a praying church. We began this year praying, and we're praying through the end of it. And oh, hallelujah, I need some warriors. I need some warriors. I keep telling you, and I'll be telling you, because I'm trying to prime your pump. In January, we're going to do something. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to spend 21 days praying and fasting for God to move in our nation and in our lives. I believe there'll be deliverance. I think there'll be some things changed. I believe we'll see some healings take place. I believe finances will change. I believe our want-tos will change. I believe that out of this group will rise up new leaders for our community and our church and our nation. I'm believing for that. You know why? Hallelujah. Because when God's people get together and fast and pray, things begin to change. Something new begins to happen. The tide is turned. It won't be done with guns and weapons of war, but the battles of our nation are won by God's people on their knees. And I'm looking forward to that. Get ready. I've already got some people volunteered. If you want to volunteer, this is going to be a volunteer only. All right? I want you to let me know. And I'm making my list right now. And I'm checking it twice. I'm going to find out who's been naughty and who's nice. And we're going to pray. And we're going to do this. Say, Pastor, I can't go 21 hours. How am I going to go 21 days? I don't know. I haven't figured it out. I'm trying it myself. I said, what are we doing? How are we going to do this, Lord? And you know how we're going to do it? Supernaturally. Some of you are going to get some victories over things in your lives that you didn't think possible through this fast. There's going to be a change. It'll be a difference. Trust me on this. Hallelujah. We're going to join the prayers of our forefathers. You know something that I believe? Forgive me if your theology doesn't match with mine. But I believe that the prayers that are uttered never disappear. I believe they keep on going on. I think they're there all the time. I think they're ricocheting like bullets around the walls of the throne room of God. I believe all the prayers of the saints ever uttered. And I believe that the prayers of our founding fathers are still being heard. And I want to join with the prayers of our founding fathers. And I want to pray for America. This great experiment. History says that we can't last very long. The newspapers, when you see what's going on, you say, this can't continue on. I don't know about you, friends, but I'm not ready if the Lord tarries for America to end. I want a place for my grandchildren and my children and their children and their children to live in, to have what I have. And I don't want it to disappear off the face of the earth. And the only way it disappears off the face of the earth is if we quit. If we throw in the towel. If we close up our doors and say, it's just us and we can't do anything. Let's pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come quickly and rapture me out of this place. Well, if that's the way you want to pray, please go pray in another place. I don't want that prayer uttered here. I want the prayer of God. What can we do to help our churches, to help our nation, to help our people, to help the world? That's what I'm looking for. People who will join with me in prayer. There are great things ahead, and those in authority over us need our prayers more than ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting myself all excited up here. I hope you're joining with me in this. Hallelujah. The third thing I want to mention this morning is that we need to pray like there's a civilization to save. There's a people to save. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Whoa! This is good! This is good! And pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's still a work for us to do. America won't be changed by the government. Oh, it may change it, but not for the better. But it'll be changed by the church. I am convinced of that, beyond measure. I've seen what the government can do. Just look at the United States Post Office. Just look at some of the things. The only thing the government's really, really good at is bombs and guns and ammo. They're really, really good at that. The rest of the stuff is a mess. We talked about a couple of weeks ago about the economy and praying for the America and the economy. and that the when I showed you how big $1 billion is, if you started at year zero and you spent $1 million a day, it would take you 3 years to spend $1 billion. The U.S. government spends that much every 8 hours. That's what they're doing with your tax money. The big sucking sound you hear is the money and your wallets disappearing. I was amazed when people would come to work for me when they were young people and they would get their first paycheck and they would come to see you and want to know what was wrong with their paycheck. They thought they were going to make $100 a week or $200 a week or whatever it was. And they found out they didn't get near that much. So that went to pay taxes. Most of them changed their political affiliation that day and became conservatives. We need to applaud the election of the first black American into office in this country. We need to rejoice about it. We need to stop running around having pity parties and say, oh, the whole country's going down the tubes. Look who's in charge. Man, look who's in charge. Start rejoicing. What an awesome thing that has been done in our nation. I've lived long enough that I remember when you used to go out somewhere and they had drinking fountains and they had colored only and white right next to it. I remember when black people had to go to the back door of a restaurant by a little window by the back door to get food because they couldn't go inside and get anything. I remember when black people couldn't sit in the front of the bus, but they were relegated to the back of the bus. I've seen it. I remember when we used to go to the movies and the black people had to sit way upstairs in the balcony because they couldn't sit downstairs with the white folks in the movie house. I remember when black kids couldn't go to school, the kind of quality of education that we got as white people, they were relegated to their own schools in bad neighborhoods. Couldn't go to school. And I remember the turmoil in this nation when the barriers of segregation were broke down and the hatred and the bitterness that spilled out like a venom across the South. Thank God for those who had enough vision to do something about it. Thank God for somebody like Martin Luther King Jr. I listened to his speech today, and if we'd have had time, I would have played the whole thing for you, but I copied some of it, and I want to read some of it to you. I want you to listen to this with your Christian values, all right? He said, I have a dream today. I have a dream. I'm going to try to read this. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. Wow. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we'll be able to hew out the mountains of despair. Hew out of the mountains of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangled discords of our nations into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with a new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I see. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightened Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain in Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain in Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill of Mississippi, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, When we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all God's children, black men and white men, Jew and Gentile, Protestant and Catholic, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we're free at last." That is an awesome oration that man gave. And we have lived to see, in some measure, that take place. We want to clean up crime in our cities? Maybe some single mom who's got more kids than she needs to, instead of letting her kids go out and become derelicts on the street or crime-ridden or drug-ridden, will be able to say, "Look, there is hope. If you just work hard and you stay in school and you can make something of your life, you could be President of the United States. It's not just a dream any longer. It's a reality." Thank God for America and what we've seen. We have lived in a historic day in this nation to see this. And I want you to do me a favor. If anybody comes to you with some bad Obama jokes, I want you to tell them you don't want to hear them. If anybody comes to you with some bad slang things about him, I'm telling them I don't want to hear them. I want us to join together as we were ordained by our founding fathers to do, to bring people from every nation and kindred and tribe and to bring them to this place. God help those who need help right now as that fire engine goes by. And to show what this American dream really is. I have a sense of it in that my grandfather came here from a foreign land because he didn't have anything. And I don't know what Grandpa's dream was, but I'll tell you what, we shattered it. We went so far, Grandpa didn't have any idea. He had a wife and 13 kids living in a two-room house down in what they call the Lower Ninth Ward right now. That's where Grandpa lived. Never had much. But he had a dream and he passed it on to his kids. Who passed it on to me. Who passed it on to my kids. And we got more education and more success than most people could ever dream of having. It's because somebody cared. And this place called America let it happen. And it happened because men and women of prayer have prayed and suffered and given so much that we might be here today. We are the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and we cannot give up who we are and what we are. But we go on from here. So now how do we pray for America? We pray like we always have. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen." We continue to pray just that way. We pray like Abraham Lincoln prayed at Gettysburg. That we are a government of the people, for the people, by the people. That's who we are. And not forget that. We pray like our flag is still the same. The flag hasn't lost one stripe. There's not one star that's fallen off of its beautiful blue. The flag is still there. We need to pray like it's still there. We need to pray like our national anthem hasn't lost one note. It's still there and it's still true. The last line of the verse that we sing so often says, "Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And it's not going away. Thank God for our national anthem. Pray like no words have been deleted from the Constitution. We the people, in order to establish a more perfect union, and the rest of it goes on. It has been done. It has not changed. It is still true. We are still under the protection of the Constitution of the United States, written by men of old, who when they signed those documents, and especially the Declaration of Independence, put their very lives, their fortune, their sacred honor on the line. For you and for me to be here today. Thank God for those. We have to pray like the Constitution hasn't changed. We need to pray like there's a remnant, like there's always been. That we're not alone. There are others just like us. There are little pockets of Christians spread throughout the whole world who are praying today. And we need to join with their prayers and get rid of the things that divide us and talk about the things that unite us. We are these United States of America, and we are united under the flag of the United States, and we are united under the flag of Christ in this nation. Don't believe that tripe that this nation is devoid of God. It's not true. We are still here. We are still a remnant that exists. We have to pray like we haven't bowed our knees to Baal. We haven't turned away to other gods. Some have. God have mercy on their soul, but we haven't. And we need to pray that way. Pat yourself on the back and say, yes, I still believe in Jesus Christ. Sure, I foul up. Sure, I've done the wrong thing. Yeah, I've said the wrong thing. Maybe I looked the wrong way. Maybe I wasn't happy about the election. But I have not bowed my knee to Baal. And you need to encourage yourself with that thought today. You need to pray like you're not afraid because there are giants in the land. There are giants in the land. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. But the giants come down not by power, not by might, but by the power of the Spirit of God. And remember the story of little David who went out when no one else would go out with a slingshot and a few stones. And he defeated the mighty giants. And remember that later when they were going into the land, people were afraid because there were giants in the land. But those who had vision and those who understood that the giants could be defeated went in and the land was conquered and taken. That is still true today, and we are not afraid of giants. We need to pray like we believe that the kingdom of God has not been shaken. I want you to know the kingdom is all right. It's still here. It's still functioning. God's still on the throne. He hasn't abdicated. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. The kingdom is still here. It's still the kingdom of God. And Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It has not been shaken. We live in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We need to pray like there's still work to be done. We need to read those words of Isaiah in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah and read those and say, put your name in there and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Who will go for us and whom shall I send, said the Lord. And Isaiah stood up and said, here am I, Lord, send me. And the beautiful part about that is Isaiah didn't even know where he was going or what do? We're just willing to go. We need to pray like there's a new president who needs our prayers. This guy needs our prayers. He needs them desperately. He's got a tiger by the tail. Our economy's in the tank. I won't go through all of that again. I preached that sermon a while back. But he's going to need some prayers. He's going to need some divine inspiration. He's going to need Holy God to speak to him. And by the way, let me clear up something for you. You know that everything you get on the internet is not true? Some of you got some junk mail, and because you liked it so much, you just passed it around as if it was true. Those of you who passed it to me got it back telling you it wasn't true. Because there's ways to check those kinds of things out. And some of the lies that have been perpetrated against this man and his family are just not true. One of the big ones is, well, he's a Muslim. Well, I'll tell you what, if he is, he's hiding it very well. Because I heard him with my own 2 ears say he was a born-again believer. And if he is a Muslim, I believe God would change his heart anyway because of the prayers that we'll be uttering for him. So don't be running around with that stuff. Speak the truth in love, but don't be spreading lies that aren't true. This man needs our prayers and our support. Pray like there's hope for tomorrow. Pray like there's a better day tomorrow if the Lord tarries. And things will be better tomorrow than they are today. If I didn't have that hope burning in my heart, I'd just take a gun and blow my brains out and get it over with and go to glory, hoping God would forgive me. On the way. No, there's hope for tomorrow, dear friends. There's a better day. Today is a better day than yesterday. Tomorrow will be a better day than today. No matter who's in the White House or the Oval Office or anything else, because God is still on the throne. God is still dealing with America. He hasn't washed His hands of us yet. And when He does, we'll be the first to know, because we'll be out of here. I heard an atheist talking on television the other day, talking about how he didn't like what we were doing around here. And I told Pat, he'll be thanking God and wishing we were back if we leave. Because he won't like this place when we're not around. Salt in the earth, bringing truth and peace and good values to the land. This land has peace because of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what we bring to the table. We need to pray like we still want God's will done. We prayed here for 30 days, and we prayed timidly. Lord, Your will be done. Your will be done. We need to start praying like we believe that God's will has been accomplished and been done. I believe it has. Pray like we want God's will to be done. And pray like we believe God will give us a vision for the future. Because He has. Because He has. I want to close with a brief story for you. I've been fortunate to hear God speak to my heart on numerous occasions. And we had finished our 30 days of prayer last week. And I knew that the election was Tuesday. And Pat and I had talked about it, and she was said, you know, maybe we ought to get together Wednesday to pray, and, you know, one way or the other,
to celebrate.
And I thought about it, so we ought to get together and pray Monday too. And so we prayed Monday, and we had a little gathering down here. We put the chairs in a circle. Those of you who were here will know what I'm about to say. God began to speak to our hearts. And I heard God so clearly in my spirit say these words to me. He said, Morris, would you rather McCain to get elected and for everybody to rejoice and to go back to business as usual? Or would you rather Obama to be elected and see a great revival break out in the land? That's an easy question to answer. Easy question to answer. But then I said to the Lord in my dialogue with Him, I said, but Lord, what about the babies? This is a big issue. What about the babies? And I heard God say to me, I'll take care of the babies. I'll take care of the babies. That released something in my spirit that has given me a sense of joy from Monday to today that I hadn't experienced in a while. That God will take care of the babies. I'll do my part, but it's up to Him. And what has happened is in the midst of this election is that people are open to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bob Lambert just testified. He's in line. People are worried. And he got to tell them that there was hope because they thought, well, it's, you know, you can't, he's going to take, with new taxes, take all our money away from us. Another one said, well, you can't take it with you. And Bob says, well, you can take your family with you. And they looked at him like, what? And he said, and if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can take your family with you to heaven. See, the door's already opened. The opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ already exist. Those who have been victorious and those who are afraid, people are afraid today, and you need to bring hope to them. That it's not about the President of the United States, but it's about the Kingdom of God. And people are open to that even now. And for those who need and want encouragement and rejoicing, see, there's a lot of folks of color who are afraid today. They're afraid of what we might say, we being the white population. I had a great illustration that happened. The FedEx man, I don't want to give credit to UPS where it's due to FedEx. FedEx man pulled into my driveway, and those of you been in my house know I have a big, nice circular drive, and he pulled that big old truck in my driveway to drop a package off. And he dropped it off at the front door, and he was leaving, and I saw him, so I hot-footed it out there and stopped him before he drove off, and I said, would you please not, and I was nice about it, I wasn't angry, I said, would you please not pull your truck in my driveway, because the cement here on the driveway is not as good as the cement on the street, and I don't want it to crack up. And he was polite, and he said, okay. And I heard myself say these words. I said, did you vote yesterday? This was Wednesday. I said, did you vote yesterday? And he said, and he looked at me like, what's this white guy going to do? And he said, yes. I said, did you vote for Obama? And he said, yes. And I stuck out my hand. I said, congratulations. I didn't vote for him, but I'm so happy for you and for the black people of America that this man has been elected to office. This guy broke out in a grin. You thought I just gave him $1 million. He thanked me so many times, he almost missed a gear driving a truck out of my driveway, thanking me that I cared enough to rejoice with him in his victory. Because it's a victory for all America. It's not his, it's our victory. And you see how the doors were open? The doors are wide open today. You look for every opportunity to bring the truth of Jesus Christ to everyone you meet. Encourage them, black and white, every color of the rainbow, and remind them that we're here. And we're here because of those who paid the price for us to be here. Thank God for America. Thank God for the USA. Thank God that we are here. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know everyone that's in this building, but I believe that this message has touched your heart because it's touched my own heart as I prepared it for us to get our focus in the right direction. And if you've been angry or upset or fearful, just let it go right now. Just put this dust under your feet and let's go on from here to do what God has called us to do. Amen? If you're here this morning and maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you've never had the opportunity, or maybe you've never really heard about what could happen to you in a church house. When you hear the good news, Jesus came, He lived, He died, He was buried, and He rose from the dead so that you and I could have our sins forgiven and we could have eternal life. It's not about the things that you do. It's about what you believe and whose you are. And the most remarkable thing happens to those who receive Christ into their life. The scriptures say that we're born again. For most of us, we're born Americans, born here on this soil. And that's an honor that we have. But that won't get you into heaven. The only way to get into heaven is to be born again. And that happens by faith. When you pray a simple prayer and say, I believe that Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead to forgive my sins, and I want Him to be in my life. I receive You, Jesus, and what You did for me at Calvary's cross, that I might be free. If you will pray that prayer, Christ will come into your life, save your soul, wash away every filthy stain, and make you a member of the kingdom of God. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning would say, Pastor, I need to receive Christ into my life. I just never have done that. Maybe I never understood it until today, but I'd like to do it today. Anyone here would just raise up your hand and say, I'd like to pray that prayer today with you. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? I don't see any hands, so I'm assuming that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as a Savior. If you were embarrassed to raise your hand before you leave the building, please come see me. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank You. Thank You for this awesome place You've let us live. Thank You, Lord, for this awesome life that You've given to us. Thank You for this awesome Word, this Bible, that we can go to for hope and consolation and vision. Thank You for it, Father. As we go our separate ways, Father, let us go out of here with this great sense of expectation of great things, of the vision that you've placed in our heart. Lord, let us tell everyone we meet who's despondent and worried and fearful about what Jesus Christ can do in their lives. Father, let us meet with everyone who's rejoicing and rejoice with them. And Father, let us make America a better place than we found it. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.